Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. It's time to take an adventure with rugged capability and commanding style. Check out the Honda Ridgeline, Pilot, Passport, or CRV. For a limited time, well-qualified buyers can get a 1.99% APR on a 2025 Ridgeline or a 3.99% APR on a 2025 Pilot, 2026 Passport, or 2025 CRV.
See dealer for financing details.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, everyone, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1308. This is your host, Danny Pena. We haven't done a live recording like this in months. It's been a while, but hey, look, we've been busy, all that good stuff. But joining me on this week's episode is the one and only Paris Lilly. Paris, what's up?
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good, man. Good. We've been busy.
Yeah, it's been busy.
We have been super busy, and we're going to get even more busy later this year. But how's everything, man? Yo, the year's about to end. We've been playing a couple games that we only can mention that we're playing, but that's about it. We're going to mention it real quick. But how's it been with you, man?
No, it's been good. It's like you said, it's been crazy busy. I came to the realization the other day that I've seen enough. This is... And I'll still say arguably, even though arguably, yeah. This is the best gaming year ever, like literally ever.
Yeah, we were having this conversation. I think I'm happy for this year, as gamers, right?
Yeah, as gamers,
great time to be a gamer. It's games left and right. So many great, great games this year. I think... since maybe 2007, and before that, maybe like 98, I think that was like the big, big year. But at the same time, hearing about layoffs, not only in development, but also in gaming media, because that happened since late last year. It's been happening a lot of like layoffs and, hearing about Epic Games just recently, a couple of days ago. Layoffs, I believe Sega, there was another one at Ubisoft just recently too. Like all that, it's been, that part is very, very sad, especially close to the holidays, seeing that, man. But, I hope things change, man, because it's kind of sad and confusing at the same time, because I'm like, wait a minute, we're doing pretty good this year with a lot of games coming out, and it's been selling well. And then we see layoffs. It's difficult, man. It's really, really hard.
No, it is. It is. And that's the ugly side of this business, that this is happening. And, I tweeted out when all this went down with Epic. It comes down to this. Leadership, C-level executives, they're the ones that are making all these decisions. And when these decisions are bad... we're the ones, the people that act, the devs that are actually doing the work, they're the ones that pay the price. And they don't have a voice in that room when these decisions are made. That's what sucks about this. And like you said, from a profitability standpoint, where, they'll come out and celebrate all these record numbers and this and that and whatever, but they don't want to cut into their profit margin. So when your profit margin starts to get cut into, you get rid of people. That's what sucks about all this. And unfortunately, this is a cycle that's going to happen again, because I guarantee you 2-3 years from now, all of a sudden you're going to see all these new studios pop up. You're going to see the current ones start ramping up, hiring all these people, and the cycle is going to continue. I think the difference that's going to be next time is these game devs are starting to unionize, and that's going to stop some of these just cold and heartless layoffs that are happening with these companies. And I get it's not just gaming, it's around the industry, just tech, everything, period. But this has to stop. You cannot be Epic and just out of nowhere lay off 900 people and just completely disrupt all these lives when we're seeing record profits across the industry. Like we said, from a gaming standpoint, this is arguably the best year we've ever seen. But yet you got to get rid of people because you made a mistake. Because look, and we get it. There's the Immortals of Avion. There's the Callisto Protocols of the world, that new IPs where they took risk that just did not simply land. But you got to protect your people, man. That's how I look at it. I would rather see a company come out and go, you know what? Guess what? We're not going to have record profits this year because we want to make sure that we take care of our people and you keep these people employed so that when you do rebound and you can have these record years, you know, prosperity, when there isn't a recession, things like that, the people that you hired and they that trusted you to employ them, and maybe they had to uplift their families and move to a new location, there's all these variables that come into place, they feel safe, because that should be more important. Your people should be more important than your profit margin. And we get capitalism. We know that's not reality, but you would think that would be a reality. You would hope that it would be. Unfortunately, it's not. And this is the ugly side of the business that we see.
Yeah, agreed. And we're going to talk about more about this in the future. You know, on this episode, we plan to do almost 100% just fan mail, because we haven't done that in a while. And yeah, let's do it. So, for those that are listening, head over to Gamer Tag Radio. Listen to our past episodes. You also could find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamer Tag Radio and follow us, subscribe, and also post a review. You only take a couple seconds there. Super easy to do, man. Also, if you're on Spotify, if you're listening through there, we've been posting polls every week, every time there's like a new episode. So the latest one that we got, and this is something where I'm gonna go right now in real time and go to this. So I'm gonna mention two, Paris. Actually, I'm gonna mention three polls that I posted. I think it's been a while. So the first one, I asked, hey, are you going back to Cyberpunk 2077? Because this was the time where Phantom Liberty was coming out and all that stuff, right? So there was a lot of people that voted on this one. 94.7% said yes. 5.3% said no. And you know what? I agree with the crowd, because Cyberpunk is back better than ever. And I love this expansion. Love. And I know, Paris, you were part of this stream show with Crown, right?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Thank you.
But hey, look, it's public knowledge, is out there, so I just want to say that. All right. So another one, Paris. This is a good one. So a couple weeks ago I posted platform.
So am I not allowed to answer?
Yes, you can answer if you want. Go ahead. It connects both of them. That's why I was gonna read it. This okay. is Cyberpunk.
All right, and then go ahead, please. Let's connect it.
Right. So I asked, which platform are you going to play Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty? 27%. I mean, actually, no. 45.8%. Sorry about that. Xbox Series X and S. 33.9% PlayStation 5. And 23.3% said PC. So what do you thought of those both polls all about Cyberpunk? Before we go to the third one,
I'm not surprised at all. It seems about right to me with the way the polling is going. And, you know, just to your overall point with Cyberpunk. Yeah, I mean, this 2.0 update, what we got with Phantom Liberty in the expansion, this is the definitive version of Cyberpunk 2077. And it gets pretty darn close to that original vision of what we saw back in 2018 when we got that demo. You know, to your point, yeah, yesterday I was on part of Prime Gaming on their Crown channel. I was part of a panel to dive into Cyberpunk lore. And it was myself, it was Susie, the Spear Hunter, Alana Pierce, and Bruce Green, where we sat down with Trish. She hosted it. And yeah, we all, you know, took, it was basically debate style, where we took certain viewpoints on like who's the most influential organization in Night City. I had Arasaka, and Alana had Militech as an example, and we debated that back and forth. We then did one where we was like, who really blew up Arasaka Tower? Was it Johnny Silverhand or was it someone else? We debated that back and forth. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. Community participation from the Cyberpunk Discord and the live chat on Twitch or whatever. We had a blast. It was like a 2-hour show. Pavel Sasko also had an interview with him during the middle of the show. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I appreciate the invite to it. And yeah, like I said, it was a blast being able to kind of talk Cyberpunk. And for me, it almost felt like a send off to this 3-year journey that we've had, you know, with the game, to be able to debate that at the end and kind of dive into the lore of that world, you know, that Mike Pondsmith started back in the 80s. It was fantastic.
Now, before I go to the third poll, do you think this is it for Cyberpunk?
No.
Is CD Projekt Red is moving on for like another game or another expansion?
No, they've already said they're making another Cyberpunk game. It's going to be on Unreal Engine 5. Pavel Sasko, it's the new studio they're starting up. For some reason, I want to say Boston, but I know it's in a North American studio that CD Projekt Red is starting up. It's in the Northeast. I feel like it's Boston. I could be off on that. But yeah, it will be Unreal Engine 5, and they're going to continue it. But we also know they're doing a new Witcher game as well. So I think the Witcher game is going to come before for Cyberpunk. So it'll be a while before we see the next Cyberpunk game. But this Phantom Liberty is the only expansion that we're going to get on 2077.
Yeah. So the last poll, which I posted this last weekend, guys, you still have time to vote. I wrote it. I posted, are you interested in Alan Wake 2? 44.4%, which is tied. Both of these are tied. Yes and no, tied. And 11.1% said maybe. That's interesting, because I personally think it's going to be a fantastic game. Paris, are you still interested in playing Alan Wake 2?
Yeah, of course. And look, I've already said this 1,000 times. I think this is the wrong time that game's coming out. Not to be a negative Nancy, as good as the preview was, as good as I enjoyed what we played, I think the interview you did with Sam Lake was great. All that's great. The game itself is going to be fine. To me, I think this is going to be another Titanfall 2 situation.
Ooh,
I just do.
Okay.
Let's be factual here with what's going on. We already got Starfield out. We got the Phantom Liberty expansion already out. You got Mortal Kombat 1 that's already out, right? You got games like Sea of Stars that are already out. You got a game that just dropped in Cocoon that, again, high ratings, that just came out, right? Mm-hmm. We're about to get Forza Motorsport, which won't be for everyone. Not everyone's into racing, but again, I'm pretty sure that's going to be a decent game. We'll see when the reviews come out, right? But Assassin's Creed Mirage is about to come out, right? We know there's a big fan base for that too. Spider-Man 2 comes out the week before Alan Wake 2. Super Mario Wonder comes out the week before Alan Wake 2. And what comes out right after Alan Wake 2? Call of Frickin' Duty. And we already know that's going to sell like gangbusters, because it does every year. So you have a standalone single player game. It is a sequel to a game we have not seen in what, 13 years. What do you think is going to happen? I'm asking you.
I think the hardcore definitely going to buy it. 100% the hardcore is going to buy it.
But who's the hardcore? But who is the hardcore? Is that a big audience?
Whoa, relax. Are you attacking me?
Yes.
I'm just saying, I'm the hardcore. We're going to buy it. Okay?
But who's we?
I love the game. My people, the people that are into Alan Wake and Control and Remedy games, we're going to buy it. Now, people like you, I don't know if that's something that's going to change your mind, saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to buy this game. That's the challenge where Remedy has to get in there and try to convince you, which I think they have so far. But again, you attended event. You got to see the game multiple times, you know, this year already, Summer Game Fest and this, you know, so that's the part that they got you. But the average Joe, here's the thing. That's going to be really hard. And look, having this game 100% digital, it's going to be a challenge because there's people still to this day are used to buying games at the store. They'll go to like GameStop, Best Buy still, you know what I'm saying? So like the majority, I think, has been doing that. So that's going to be kind of hard, especially if it's only 100% digital, because all those games that you mentioned, Paris, you can still buy those games in stores.
Mm-hmm.
All those games that you just mentioned.
Yeah.
That's the challenge I think Epic and Rem is going to have.
Well, this is again where I point the finger back at leadership, because we know that Epic is the publisher for this. So they're the ones that made this decision, not only to make it digital. I'm somewhat okay with that. That doesn't bother me as much. Mm-hmm. But this is the wrong release window for the game. And we know what the original release date was. They pushed it back. And I get it. It aligns up with the survival horror, the Halloween timeframe. All that makes sense to me. But you have to read the room and see what your competition is during that window. It is freaking insane. This is not the time for a game for a franchise we have not revisited in 13 years. And I get your point. You're part of the hardcore. But I guarantee you the hardcore audience for Alan Wake is small. It's a very tiny percentage of the overall gaming community. Because let's just be honest again. The original one didn't sell that well. So what would be the expectation that this one would magically sell well unless you give it room to breathe? And you're not giving it room to breathe, putting it in this window. You're just not. And I'm not trying to be a negative Nancy because I absolutely loved what I played. I'm just trying to be realistic about this. So when we get into November, December, and we're looking back and go, oh, man, Alan Wake 2 didn't sell well. I'm gonna be like, gee, shocker. I wonder why. And this is why, because there's just too many other games that are competing for our attention. And at $70 a pop, you're only buying so much. Something's going to have to sacrifice.
I have to say something because I'm looking up the numbers. Mm-hmm. I'm looking up the numbers right here. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts about this. Mm-hmm. So, Alan Wake, just a series, which is just the part one, and there was like a very smaller game that only came out on Xbox Live Arcade. It sold 4.5 million copies since the release, which was in, 2010. Now, I'm looking at Control. 10 million people have played Control on all, on all consoles. Now, the difference between these two is the first game only came on Xbox 360 because that was an exclusive for Xbox 360. And by the way, guys, make sure to listen to the previous episode that I recorded with Brittany from What's Good Games, because we talked about Alan Wake, and especially Alan Wake 2, like our hands-on impressions. And then we did the interview with Sam Lake about the game. I highly recommend it because we talked about like how this is connected to Control and all this stuff. And I mentioned a couple other things about Quantum Break and so on. But I personally think at that time it was different, I think, because Alan Wake was so new. And it was only a small partnership they had with Xbox. I think this one is different because now it's going to be available in more platforms than before. And I think it's going to do pretty good because Control sold really, really well. 10 million copies it sold. And I think this one's going to be up there because it's all connected too. There's a lot of fans that love Control that have never played Alan Wake. So I think it's going to do good. I think, Paris.
I disagree.
You disagree? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. We'll see when it comes out.
I just disagree. I don't think Alan Wake... And again, I'm going to keep it a buck here. Control for 10 million being multi-platform isn't that impressive, to be honest with you. It's not. So if Alan Wake 2 only sells 10 million, and I am stressing only, if it only sells 10 million copies, and you're talking with Control, you're talking lifetime. So I'm talking early sales. Is that good enough? I don't think it is. I don't think that's good enough for Epic. I don't. I'm just telling you, as a third-party game. Okay, let's flip it. If Assassin's Creed Mirage only sells 10 million copies, Is that good enough for Ubisoft?
Yes, Paris. What nope. the hell's wrong with you?
It's
yes.
not. No, it's not.
So it's what not. Is the point of releasing the game then if it's not going to sell 10? Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Third party game across PlayStation, Xbox, and PC. You're telling me that 10 million copies is going to be good enough. That's going to be good enough for their bottom line.
Paris, are you serious?
I'm dead serious. I'm dead serious.
I don't agree with you. Sorry.
I'm dead serious.
Go post online so people could go slam at you right now. Go ahead, post it. I'm dying to talk to people that actually work behind the scenes and do this.
Third, not first party. I'm talking third party. Yes. So again, we're talking a user base of even right now about what? But across PC, again, PC, PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, right? We're talking across all three of those. You'd still say that's about 100 million today, right now, right? Would you agree?
Yes.
So only 1 out of 10 people are going to buy your game.
Paris, look, I don't work in publishing or anything like that. But from the outside, 10 million is pretty good. It's really good. Sorry, I know I curse, but I'm just saying.
Okay.
Look, I disagree with you. I don't just agree. Disagree with
and,
you.
And I'll
Control take, was a I'll, successful game.
That's Control life. That's a lifetime. That's a lifetime. It's not good enough.
What is it you want? A billion? Like what? Is it you want them to sell?
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I don't know. I disagree. But hey, do you want to go to voicemails? Because, you know, we have a lot. We have a couple
voicemails. No. I want to live here for a second. What do
no,
you
feel? We have to move on. It's 7:30. I have a game to watch.
This is literally our show. We do whatever we want. All right, fine. Move on. You're not right, but go ahead. Move on.
You're not right. All right. So. We're going to do fan mail. And for those who would like to be part of our fan mail discussion, because look, we're looking for questions, comments, all kinds of stuff. This is how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, and it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Okay, so we have a lot of emails and two voicemails. So again, you guys have time. So hit us up for the next episode, for future episodes. Just call us, send voicemails, emails, whatever. So I'm going to start with the first email from, I believe this is from Lex.
Mm-hmm.
All right. He goes, hey, guys, my name is Lex from the Bronx. Shout out to the Boogie Down Bronx. Long time listener. First time writing in. Apologies if this is too long. I hope it's not too long. A few episodes back, when answering a chat message, Paris said there's no reason to have physical games nowadays.
There isn't.
Well, I mostly... Yo, can I finish reading this? Jesus. Well, I mostly buy physical games and hope the industry doesn't get rid of them for three main reasons. And I'm going to go skip here. I bought a game and both my son and I play it without having to log in into the system to download the game on his profile. Right? That's one. Also, for Gamefly, I buy only a few games a year, mostly AAA games like Spider-Man and God of War. Other games that I know are one and done, like Jedi Survivor, I'll rent it for $17 or $20 for the month, beat in a month, send it back to... and get another game. This service also lets me try out games if I really want it, and I'll buy it at a lower price, which is wild to me that still people are doing Gamefly. Again, that's a different crowd of people that actually still does that. So that's pretty cool. They do that still. So I understand the convenience of digital only, but they rarely go on sale. And when they go on sale, it usually when the game is sold old AF. I'm not going to say what it is. Physical games are discounted usually the month after release. If it isn't a day one must have, I can't wait to get it for 25% or more off. Anyways, sorry for the long email. Love you guys. Keep up the great work. Lex, shout to Lex, man. Thank you so much for the email. Paris, look, we live in an area where the internet speed around our area is super fast, easy for us to download games. Some of these games is 100-something gigs. Imagine someone in the middle of nowhere where their speed is not that fast. It will take a very, very long time. Or maybe they have an internet service where they only get a certain amount of gigs per month. There's a data cap. That's something also we got to think about too, man. You know, like for example, Alan Wake 2, that probably going to be a very big game, you know, so like, I think you need both. You shouldn't 100% remove physical games, in my opinion, because there's people that don't have the internet speed and they still could buy the games, you know? So just want to bring that up. Your thoughts about this.
And I just want to bring up, this is the reason I love your wife. Because she agrees with me. That's all I'm going to say. But answer your question about physical disc.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not trying to look at when I talk about this stuff, I'm not looking at the individual because there's always going to be a percentage of people that are going to prefer physical discs that are going to want to do that. I'm trying to just look at it from a logical, realistic standpoint. The vast majority of people are moving away from physical discs. It's just reality of it. It's just
agreed.
Is. Okay. So what do you think these publishers want? They don't want physical discs. You want to know why? Because that's a used game market. They don't get a cut of that. They want you on digital. And again, I'm not saying, look, of course, in a perfect world, we would continue to have physical discs or continue to be a used game market. You could trade with your friends, do all that kind of stuff. Of course, no one's arguing that. The collectors can still have that, all of that. Mm-hmm. But we know as we're transitioning to this next generation, PlayStation and Xbox are not going to continue they might still support physical discs in the PlayStation 6 and whatever the next Xbox is. But we've obviously even seen from these FTC leaks, clearly Microsoft has been thinking about moving away from it. What do you think the Xbox Series S is? It was a test bed. And we even saw that previously with the Xbox One. There was an Xbox One all digital as well. They're obviously talking about coming out with an all digital Series X potentially next year, which again makes sense. There's already an all digital version of the PS5. Physical media is slowly but surely starting to go away. And even when you look at physical media today on those devices, all it is just a storage device. You still have to basically download that data that's on that disc onto a hard drive. And then the disc is simply a DRM check. That's all it is. So, yeah, Nintendo is probably going to continue to do physical media because Nintendo's Nintendo. Do what the hell they want. But Xbox and PlayStation, they're going away from it. And I understand there's a collector's market out there. That's why you'll see things like the Starfield Collector's Edition that we just got. It wasn't no disc in there. It was like... It was just the code sitting on the credit thing. That's what you're going to start to see more of. So there'll still be a collector's market for stuff like that. But the actual disc where you have a disc drive on there, that's going away. I'll ask the same person that sent in this email. Do you still get 4K Blu-rays and DVDs? Or do you digitally stream your stuff? It's where we're going. Music. When last time you bought a CD or a cassette? Ooh.
It's just I buy vinyls once in the blue.
Right. As a novelty is the wrong word, but you get my point. As a collector. That's why you get it. You're not getting it like, man, let me let me listen to Nas. No, like, you want to listen to Nas? You gonna fire it up on Spotify or something?
Yeah, yeah. That's my point. I haven't even opened my vinyl.
Yeah. So
yeah, because I collect it. Yeah.
That's my point when I say that. So yeah. to expect these major publishers to continue to support the manufacturing costs and everything that goes into physical media, not to mention it lowers the price of the console that you're trying to buy by not having to worry about having a disc drive in there. That's where they're going. It just is. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that's where it's going. And it's cheaper. I mean, yeah, and we can go kicking and screaming mad about it, because here's the bottom line, and I'm not saying this to be an a-hole, but here's the truth of it. Are you going to stop playing games if there's not physical media?
No.
Of course.
People are not going to stop. Yeah. Here's the thing, too. Look, I'm not saying everybody, but there's a lot of people on Twitter or X that are complaining about digital games, but they have PC, and they're still downloading digital games through Steam.
Yes.
So what is, I don't know. That part I don't get.
PC is actually a great example of this. I remember there was a time I used to have my CD, a DVD burner, Blu-ray. Like, I had all that stuff in my PC.
Wait, burner?
You could burn discs and stuff, you know, copies of stuff.
I don't support that.
Hey, for work. Okay? It's work stuff.
Or music.
But my music. But my point is, I've not had a disc drive in my PC in at least a decade. At least. So
yeah,
it's just where it's going. And it's not stopped me from playing any PC games. I've not been, because I remember it got to the point with PC games where, and you're seeing that now on the console side, you'd buy a physical copy of a PC game and it was literally just a code inside the cover. That's all it was.
Yeah.
So it's just where it's going.
Okay. Out of the voicemails, Paris, I know there's two. Which one you want? Voicemail one or voicemail two?
Two.
Let's go with two. Here it goes.
Hello. This is Brad, BGamer90 again. I wanted to hear your thoughts on Starfield not having a special edition Xbox Series S console. And the reason for that, I definitely thought that we would see one alongside the release of Starfield, but it obviously seems like it's not coming. I do feel that maybe it's due to possibly the Xbox Series X shortage. And I also think that a lot of it could just be due to Microsoft knowing that a lot of the people that are Xbox hardcore users, they already have the Xbox Series X. But at the same time, I'm still surprised that they aren't doing a special edition Xbox Series X for Starfield's launch. It could also, now I'm thinking about it, it could also show that Xbox this generation cares a lot about, cares far more about Game Pass subscriptions than console sales. Because Starfield is releasing on so many platforms, you know, why make a console that will be bought by people that are already subscribed to Game Pass more than likely, when you can, you know, just focus on releasing the game to multiple platforms, you know, such as Series X, Series S, PC, streaming, and, you know, just make it a big event and use the money for marketing to show and tell people that, hey, you can play Starfield in all these different forms and methods. So, you know, maybe that could be the reason why we're not seeing a special Starfield Series X system. I just wanted to hear what you guys thought about it. And again, enjoy the show, and I hope to talk to you later. All right, bye.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for sending in the voicemail. And the crazy thing about this, Paris, that voicemail was the day before we got the news about the rat, the Starfield.
There you
rat.
Go. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that was interesting. The timing was just perfect. But yeah, like, I think he makes a lot of sense. I think releasing like a special edition Starfield, I think that was the right move just for Microsoft, for the company to release a wrap version where you could just get that, put it, you know, to the console, which looks great. I love it on my Series X. It looks fantastic. And by the way, shout out to Xbox and also to my wife, Rihanna, because they surprised me. Because I think Rihanna contact somebody from Xbox to surprise me with the wrap. So that was pretty cool to getting that. But now, do you think it makes a lot of sense to for Microsoft to release Series S special edition, I guess, of Starfield, or not really?
Because to the whole point of what we're just talking about, I think the wraps make way more sense do that. And I get the S, they're probably never going to do a wrap on the S. I think clearly we've seen other special editions of S's that are go out. They seem to be more limited in that way. You don't see mass market Series S custom console. So I don't think even Starfield would be one that would make sense to do. It's obviously cheaper for them to do it on the S than it would be the X, but I'm more in favor of doing the wraps because I think everybody can, like, even the PS5, like with the Spider-Man one, they had the, you know, you could get the covers. I like that more because I think you're not asking people to go buy another console to be able to have a special edition of that console. If you already got an X, you just go get the wrap. Like I'm sure they're going to have one for Hellblade 2 and Avowed and all these things that are going to come out next year. Just makes sense to do versus asking me, just because I'm a fan of a particular game, to have to go spend another $500 or, in the case of the S, another $300 to get a collector's edition of it. Like, I remember way back in the day, I bought, and this had to have been, was it Halo 2? It had to have been Halo 2. It was still the original Xbox, where I got that Halo Xbox.
And I remember that one.
It was like green or whatever. I went and bought that because I just wanted it. And excuse me. And then I kind of regretted it later. I'm like, why the hell did I do this? I already had an Xbox. It doesn't make no sense. Anybody,
it's a different time.
Yeah. It's completely different time. So
yeah.
I'm definitely more of a fan of the wraps because, to your point, I have the Starfield wrap as well. Looks great. I don't look at that and think it looks cheap or out of place or anything like that. It looks great. Having it under my TV, you know, it's a great center showpiece to have. So I'd rather see them do more of those because I think now fans have more options for the games that they like, and they can buy multiple of them and they can swap them out at any point and not feel like they go, oh, I got to go buy a whole nother console just to have a collector's edition.
It makes more sense for companies to release like controllers or like special headsets like that. That I think is cheaper and I can see more people buying that than the actual console, because you're right. Imagine you buying a Starfield Xbox Series X, $500, and you're like, okay, I just bought it, another console. Why? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's better to buy a controller and stuff like that. But now, I think the only gaming company that have released multiple special editions like that has been Nintendo. I think the only company been doing that, more than Xbox and more than PlayStation. So, because I know they release, they're releasing a Mario version again. So many different times. Zelda, they also had a Animal Crossing edition. So it's been selling well, but it's Nintendo. You know,
and,
it's different.
And I always think in these discussions, it's like, it's almost not even fair to include Nintendo. Nintendo is such an outlier in all of this stuff. And and I know sometimes people get mad at us, like, you can't. Why does Nintendo get a pass? I don't know, because they Nintendo. I don't know. I can't answer it. We're all dumb. We all run out and buy the stuff over and over again from Nintendo, and we happily do it. Because I'm going to tell you right now, Danny, now, when they announce that new Switch and we see the 3D Mario coming at launch, I'm going to just slide my credit card right on over to Nintendo.com. I'm like, here you go. Yeah. Whatever, you got me again.
So we have another question here. This is from Ian from Illinois. Hey guys, with the new increase in PlayStation Plus, I look back at how much I use it in services. I only play Call of Duty online and mostly Warzone, which is mostly free online play. How many subscribers do you think they will lose because of this decision? I think they're gonna lose a lot. I think it is way too expensive, I think.
Yes, it's too expensive. It just is.
Yeah. Because here's the thing. I don't have PlayStation Plus. I stopped using that a long time. And the reason why I made that decision is because there was a time where I was paying multiple services. I'm like, God. And now, for me, PlayStation is more of a first single-player game experience, like story, you know, like God of War, you know, Horizon, yeah, stuff like that.
Careful,
I just don't see.
Careful.
What?
Careful. You can be the fifth horseman. You better watch out.
What the heck is really? I'm being real. I just don't see myself playing online on consoles. I'm just saying,
you're going to be the fifth horseman. They're going to be a new tweet. They're going to update the tweet.
You know what? They can put a tweet of me going like this. Like Paris smiling. Yeah, you can go ahead. You can put it up. Put my happy face. No, but for real, like I just love the single player games of PlayStation. Love.
Of course. Yeah, me too.
You know, I just don't see myself playing online games. And plus, most of my friends are playing Xbox or PC games now. Barely I'll see people online on the Switch, but a totally different story. And it's cheap. It's only $20 a month I pay. But yeah. So yeah, I just want to say that. He's like the fifth horseman.
They're going to put your picture up there too.
With the happy face.
You better watch out.
Oh my God. All right.
But to answer the question, just from my point of view, like, again, full disclosure, I have PlayStation Plus, the top tier version of it, and PlayStation provided it to me. So I want to be clear on that. Mm-hmm. If I had to pay for it, I probably would not. Because what I have found is over the past, what is it? It's about 2 years now, right? Year and a half, 2 years. It's been available. I'm not using it. For various reasons. And now that they've increased the price of it, no, I would, if I wanted PlayStation Plus, I would be getting the basic, the lowest tier if I'm playing online games, to your point. And right now, there's nothing online on PlayStation that I'm currently playing. It's either on PC or it's on Xbox. It's just the truth of the matter. And people, mileage may vary on why that is. I do see a scenario when eventually The Last of Us Factions comes out and probably Concord, I'm going to want to hop on PlayStation 5 and play online games because of the live service. And I don't know if they're going to consider that free where you don't need PS Plus. I don't know. We'll obviously see when the time comes and those games hit. Mm-hmm. But until PlayStation has something that I want to play online, and look, it used to be Destiny, but now I just play that on PC, again, as an example. Yeah, I don't necessarily need I don't feel a need for PlayStation Plus, because when I compare it, obviously, to the competition, their subscription services, I feel that it has more value. I just do. That's just the truth of the matter. And I know some people will disagree with that, but that's how I feel.
Yeah, I think they should update the picture of the fourth or fifth horseman, and with a picture of Paris like this. He doesn't like physical games and doesn't like a PlayStation Plus. All right, another question. We have one more voicemail. But
can I say one thing before you go into that email? I just think this stuff is funny. I just want, we're live on the chat. I just want to say it. So again, the whole four horsemen tweet, right? You know me.
They don't know what it is.
I know they don't know. But I went into the comments, and there was a person on there that completely was analyzing me as a person, like everything, like my motivations, like everything. I was like, this is freaking fascinating that this person that has never talked to me in my life, has only seen me on a podcast or whatever, completely analyzed my entire life in a tweet. And of course, it's someone that pays for Twitter Blue, because it was like a whole manifesto. It was like this long ass thing. I'm like, people got way too much time on their hands. Seriously.
I think they need help.
They really need Jesus. That's what they need. They need resubscription. That's what they need.
Yeah, please, please. It's free. You could get. You could also get the digital version on that. Yeah. Or physical.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead. All right. So we have another one. This is from Marcus. Greetings, Paris, Danny, and Pete. This is my first time writing in. I listen to your podcast every Monday while going through my inventory duties at work and enjoying the discussion you all have around different topics. A lot of it is very insightful and generally neutral. Sometimes, guys, sometimes. a neutral takes about what's going on in the video game industry, and I appreciate that. It's refreshing. My question to you guys, in the year of games that has been jam-packed with releases and even more on the horizon, what would be a favorite of each of yours that you feel didn't get enough attention. Keep up the amazing work, or content, sorry, of Marcus. Now, for me, I think, and this was a game that came out really, really early in the year. Hi-Fi Rush was, I think that game should get more attention. That game is fantastic. What do you mean? It's true, Paris. And that's a digital game. That's an all digital game. That's an all digital game. So I think Hi-Fi Rush is one. Right now, there's an independent game that just came out, which is a fantastic game. El Paso Elsewhere. Definitely, if you love old school Max Payne, like that type of vibe of shooter, great, great story, and challenging and fun, definitely gotta get that game. That game is so dope. So dope. What about you, Paris?
I have two. Both of them are indie. Two. Both of them are indie games, and both of them are on Xbox Game Pass. Best value in gaming. First one is Ravenlock. Fantastic indie title, or kind of action RPG game. Loved it. Short experience. I mean, you could beat it in probably like 5 hours or something like that. But I just love the story. I love the world that they created. Excuse me. Fantastic game to check out. The other one is Planet of Lana. I freaking loved Planet of Lana. It is absolutely one of my in a year of just a monster year of games. Mm-hmm. It is definitely my top 10 for sure of just games that I just absolutely adored. Love the art style. Love the just I love loved it. Loved it. Again, it's on Game Pass as well. So those are two that I think you will not hear in any of the end of the year discussions on anything. But I thought they were fantastic. This is why you got to support indie games. Now, I've only played like the demo of it, but I've just seen what people are saying about it. When I think about a game that's probably going to wind up getting overlooked, it's going to be Lies of P. That seems like that one is hitting for a lot of people. Now, the other one, because the reviews just came out, so we can actually talk about it, because I've played enough of it to have an opinion on it. Cocoon. Man, Cocoon, and we'll obviously see, but it's the timing of when it's coming out. I think Cocoon is fantastic. It is a game that you should absolutely check out. I'm pretty sure that one's on Game Pass as well. Same with Lies of P. Like, literally all these ones I'm talking about on Game Pass, and I'm not trying to advertise for it, but if you subscribe, just go download it and check them out for yourself. And like you already mentioned, Hi-Fi Rush. Hi-Fi Rush, which has had more acclaim than these other games that we've talked about, because, you know, they had the stealth launch beginning of the year. You know, it was pretty beloved. We talked about it before. When we talk about end of the year award time, it's, I don't know where it's going to fit to be able to get some of the acclaim that it should get. I just think, again, it's going to get overlooked at the end of the year when it comes to that.
I think like best music, best action or adventure games, like stuff like that, I could see. Not game of the year, but we'll see.
Yeah, I don't think Hi-Fi Rush is not going to be game of the year, but it's such a solid, see, like, it's weird. It's not a AAA game, but it came from Bethesda, right? You know, or Tango. So is it a AA game? It's like, I don't know exactly where it fits in that narrative, but it's such, because, like, it's not going to be on the indie game in the year list or anything like that, but it's a good game. It's a great rhythm. It's fantastic. It's good. It is. Yeah, I'm just trying to think top of my head something else that, because dude, there's just so many games that came out this year that I feel like is getting overlooked. I don't know. I think, just like I said, those that I brought up, those were like top of mind to me that I know are games that, you know, deserve more praise.
All right, so we're gonna go now with this voicemail from Jason. Here it goes.
Hey, this is Jason calling from Chicago. I just want to know if anybody else as upset as I am with Payday 3 authentication process. I mean, this is just totally crazy. This is the first time that I've tried to play a game where after they sent me through an authentication process on Xbox, I actually went and just uninstalled the game. It's crazy. You can't ask me to be on an Xbox, log into a website, then access my email through the website to get a verification code that you're going to send back to me, and then link it to my Xbox account. It was way too many steps. To me, it almost, I actually am in the IT field myself, but it almost felt like, what if they're redirecting these sites to get my password? Because I really can't see what's going on the browser on the Xbox. It was just too much for me. So I just actually felt bad that I uninstalled the Payday 3 game, and I will never get a chance to play it as long as they keep the way that they're doing to access the game. It's totally crazy. Thanks.
Yeah, well, thank you, Jason, for sending this voicemail. You know what? I have the game downloaded because I got it through Game Pass.
Yeah.
But I haven't really launched the game yet because I've been busy playing other games, you know. But
what are those? What have you been playing? You can say it. Don't be shy. What have you been playing?
I've been playing ColecoVision, Atari 2600. Okay, look. All right. So the games that I've been playing, Ganon Pirates 2, the new Forza Motorsport. What?
You love giving up my business. What if I want to say what I've been playing? Don't talk
for me. You publicly tweeted, so it's out there. So I don't care.
Did I? I have not tweeted that I was playing Forza. That's a lie.
You were at the event with iJustine and everybody else with the helmet and like, you know.
It's my business.
Hey, it's out there. It's out there. Well, anyways, Forza Motorsport, Spider-Man 2, and Assassin's Creed Mirage. How in the world I have time to play all those games? I don't know. But anyway, those are the games I've been playing. So that's why I haven't had a chance to play the new Payday game. But I haven't tried. Have you even launched it to see how it is, Paris? Or
no.
Anything? Have you?
No, I mean, to your point, I mean, being serious for a second, I mean, there's just so many other things we're trying to play. I've not even downloaded, looked at it, anything. So, yeah, to his point, I hearing him describe the hoops you got to go through, that is just completely annoying. That is not something I would want to experience. Like, what am I thinking of that also is so annoying when you have to authenticate through their system? It's not Ubisoft. Is it EA? I forget. There's another one that's exactly like that. I know what he's saying. Exactly what he means, where I just want to just hit the button and play the game. Why am I jumping through 1,000 hoops to actually go do it? And look, as a security person, I appreciate the authentic. I get it. But as a consumer, that's annoying. You don't want to have to do all that. You just want to just go play. I get it.
Yeah, because look, I think you're talking about Jedi Survivor for the PC. Could it be that one?
It might be. Yeah, that's why I feel like it's something EA, where I'm like, dude, I just want to play. Like, what are we doing? Yeah.
You know, I just love the days where you just launch the game and you just play it. But now it's like you launch, you have to like agree. It's like some paperwork you have to do in there, right? And then you have to launch the service up. It's like it's just too much, way too much for me, man.
Yeah,
you
know, it is.
I just want to look. I remember, and this is recently too, launching Cyberpunk on the Steam Deck. Let's just say there's a launcher that pops up first, and you have to put sign in or sign in without your account or something like that. Sign in as guest or something like that.
Yeah.
And then another launcher will pop up, which it gives you updates of. It's just like too much. Just launch the game. Make it easy for me, man. It's just too much. Too much for me. So, but yeah, if you guys have any other games like that, please let us know in the chat or send us a voicemail or email, because I'm curious if there's other ones out there that's annoying. All right, so we have another. I'm probably gonna read one more question because it's a lot.
Yeah, man, come on, what are you doing?
Wow, I wish you guys were watching this because Paris has this like face. Is he serious? And he's not. He's not at all. Oh well, okay. This one is from Cedric, and I'm again, Paris. It's about physical games and digital games. So I'm gonna bring this up. All right. So like Cedric. Great episode, like always. Lots of good information from y'all. I still love my physical games. Piggybacking on what you all said about games being removed from Nintendo eShop and now Xbox saying next year 360 titles, The physical is a way to ensure that I will have the title I want to play. Also, if there is an issue with the internet or I'm in an area with poor connection, I will still be able to play games via physical copies. I hope that this option never goes away. I think ultimately the consumer should have the choice to pick what they want. At the same time, I understand the cost benefit for companies going all digital. It's a benefit to them and loss to others, not only to the gamers, but the jobs that are present currently would end for people that work at jobs that produce physical copies. So I said all that to say I see both sides of the coin. Take care. This is from Cedric. So people are not going to let that go, Paris. Here's the thing. I remember in 2012, 2013, when Xbox was like, hey, always online.
2013, yeah.
Yeah, physical is not, it's going to be there, but digital is the way to go and all this stuff. And people were mad. And then PlayStation did that video where you could share your games and all that stuff. Like, you know, it went viral. It hurt Xbox. But here's the thing. Years later, that's all we've been doing. Always online. Always online on PC. Always online on some of the consoles, because not Nintendo, some of the consoles like PlayStation and Xbox. But go ahead.
No, it's just funny, you know, you bringing that out, because you know who tweeted at me the other day? Adam Orth. You remember him?
Adam Orth. Yeah. He tweeted at you? Why? Well, for those that don't know, he was the one that started a controversy, always online on Twitter, and people were attacking him. I think he was saying, hey, the phones that do always online, all this stuff, yeah. You know? So yeah, go ahead.
No, it's just funny. First of all, none of your business what he tweeted at me, but whenever I see his name, that's the first thing I think of every time is because of that back then, that controversy with always online and just everything going on. Now he just tweeted at me cause I was in a convo about the layoffs and stuff. And you know, it was a conversation about wanting to celebrate all the great games this year, but at the same time being mindful of all these layoffs that are happening. That's why he tweeted at me. But I mean, just to the point of what the person is emailing in, we've obviously already reviewed this already. I mean, it's just like I said before, it's just the reality of where this is headed, whether we like it or not. If anything, Microsoft was about 10 years too soon in the messaging. And we've talked about this many times over the years there. If they would have messaged that correctly back then, I think people would have been more receptive to it. Cause there's a lot of things about what Xbox was trying to do back then that I actually agreed with. It was just the way they presented it. I mean, sorry. I almost called him Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle, ladies and gentlemen.
Don Cheadle.
Wow.
The former head of Xbox. But you cannot come out and say, well, that's what you need an Xbox 360 for. I mean, look. Oh my god! I can't believe
somebody got to do an image. Don Cheadle.
I can't believe I had Don Cheadle.
Digital games are always online.
Yeah, it's all your fault. That's funny. War Machine. It's War Machine's fault. No. But just to the point. I mean, yeah, that the messaging was just so poor back then between Don Madrick and then Phil Harrison. Nobody was on the same page or what they were talking about. It was complete confusion and it just seemed so anti-consumer. And then you got PlayStation on the other side. Hey, man, here, physical discs, use games, no problem. It was just bad. But here we are 10 years later and clearly we can see we're going towards an all digital future. We just are. It's what's going to happen. I don't think the 100% always online thing is going to fly. I think there will have to be check-ins like the way Steam does it. Steam's been doing it great for years where you can play offline for an extended period of time, but eventually you're gonna have to check in, you know what I mean? Online. I think that's where we're headed. Probably,
yeah,
like it or not, probably by 2028 with the PlayStation 6 and whatever the next Xbox is going to be.
Here's something that just popped up in my head before we wrap this up. You know, the Steam Deck, a successful handheld device, is all digital. I know there's other devices from other companies is 100% digital. Nintendo is the only one that is not all digital. What if, again, this is what if, Nintendo says, yo, our next console is all digital. And now the price is cheaper to buy this console. And you're going to have a bigger hard drive, more storage. Let's say the console is $249 or $200, or let's just say, because it's now all digital. Will you be okay with that, Paris? Are people listening, do you think that's okay if Nintendo says, hey, we're going all digital, this is the way to go?
Well, you already
and
know
now
my
the
answer.
Console is cheaper.
You already know my answer. Yeah, of course I'm okay with that. Yeah. I'm okay with it, but there will be people that aren't. I get that. But the fact that you use Nintendo as an example, people are going to be way more willing to give them a pass on it than if it was Xbox or PlayStation. It's just the truth.
I think people are going to be mad because a lot of them collect Nintendo products.
I'm going to say it again, Danny. I'm going to say it again. Yeah. Yeah. They're going to show that new Switch. They're going to show that Mario. I want physical discs. It's all, okay. Here's my money. That'll happen. That's what's going to happen.
The only thing I don't like when Nintendo always announces is when they start removing the eShop and the games and all that stuff years later, that's kind of messed up. At least make it a way where you can still re-download that the next system. I mean, I think that's the goal for the next system. The next console is all the games that we downloaded now during the Switch era, we can still re-download it for the new console. If they could do that, I'm fine with it. I'm okay with it. But if it's just like, hey, well, that's it, we're going to remove the eShop, I think people are going to be mad. Look, there is going to be a percentage of people that are going to get mad because they collect these physical games, especially from Nintendo, because Nintendo's always been both digital and physical. I think people are going to get mad. I think. But you're right. They have a better pass than Xbox and PlayStation, though.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay, I think we're good with this episode. It was good. It was random, no news, just strictly fan mail. So, see, guys, this is why I'm always saying, send us questions. We could do a lot of these episodes. But if you don't send us questions, then we're moving on. We're doing news and hands-on and all. Send us questions. Feedback. You don't like what Paris said about physical games and digital? Hey, let us know.
What? Why does it have to be me?
Because you're the fifth horseman.
No, I'm the fourth horseman. You're the
fourth. I'm the fifth.
I'm already on the list, okay?
Yeah.
Allegedly, yeah. I'm a game journalist. I didn't even know I was.
Hey.
Amazing.
I didn't know, Paris. I thought you were not a game journalist when we met.
Yeah. I'm a biased game journalist. That's what I found out this week.
So why you did an interview Don Cheadle then?
Don Cheadle. I can't believe that popped in my head. I was like, Don Cheadle. Wait, he's not. What am I saying?
An exclusive one-on-one with Don Cheadle.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. It's all good. It's all good. All right, guys. So head over to GameAttackRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. We have a lot of content. Make sure to listen to the Anne and Wake 2 hands-on impressions and also interview with Sam Lake. And we also have a special segment there with sponsor segment with NVIDIA. Great conversation there with me and Paris. And also, as a guest, we have Brittany from What's Good Games. She was talking smack about Paris on that episode, and that's only exclusive there. Go check it out. I think she's winning the battle of them going back and forth. I had to say it to get his attention. Anyways, you can send us voicemails.
I got robbed. That's all I know.
questions, feedback, whatever you want. Just send us questions. And here's how you could contact us right now. Do it right now. 2 seconds.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. We're out. Everyone, thank you. Until next time. By the way, just want to say one more thing before I press stop. One more thing before I press the recording stop. Paris, what the heck, man? This is important. I've been talking to Paris. I want us to do a live review of Spider-Man 2. Are you down for that, Paris?
I love how, number one, you put my business out on Front Street again.
Wait. First of all, that's my idea. That was not your idea.
But you're literally putting me on the spot live.
Yes, live. Well, I guess, millions of people watching.
No, you know what? No. How about that?
Okay, no. Fine. I'll do it by myself. I don't need your help. Go hang out with Don Cheadle. Go hang out with Don Cheadle.
Oh, my Hulk. God.
It's funny. But no, for real, I would love to. We haven't never done that before. Well, actually, have we? We haven't done it in a while.
Not live. No, we have not.
Not live? But no. We are going to have a live something the day of, just to see what people are saying. And I know. Let me work on that.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, being serious. Yeah, we've been talking about it. We'll figure it out. It's just scheduling, timing, making sure. Because the Spider-Man 2 embargo is October 16th at 7 a.m. Pacific. So just need to make sure, obviously, I'm availability. So
Yeah. October 7th. Yeah, that's on a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, there you go. By the way, Paris, do you have any other games you've been playing you could talk about?
Can we end the show?
Well,
okay. I have a life. I want to watch football.
Me too.
Okay.
Go Dolphins. Undefeated. Let's go.
Since you like putting my business out there, I've been playing under embargo Forza Motorsport, Assassin's Creed Mirage, and Spider-Man 2. And we can't talk about any of them until later dates.
Okay. Now, if Don Cheadle goes up to you, like, hey, you got to let me know. What's up with Xbox?
And I'm gonna say, let me put on the War Machine suit. Can I be in Armor Wars? That's what I'll say.
Okay. Does he have sunglasses? Wait, that's the tiger. What's the tiger? For the Cheetos commercial. Sorry. I gotta move on. All right, guys, we're gonna wrap it up. Thank you so much for watching and listening to this episode. Until next time, we're out. Peace. All right.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. It's time to take an adventure with rugged capability and commanding style. Check out the Honda Ridgeline, Pilot, Passport, or CRV. For a limited time, well-qualified buyers can get a 1.99% APR on a 2025 Ridgeline or a 3.99% APR on a 2025 Pilot, 2026 Passport, or 2025 CRV.
See dealer for financing details.
Did you know that many products for pregnant women do not have their own clinical trials for safety or efficacy? That's because pregnant women are often excluded from clinical studies. Ritual is aiming to set a new standard with their essential prenatal multivitamin. It's the number one best-selling prenatal and the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Moms taking Essential Prenatal had a lower overall cortisol level during pregnancy than those taking a leading prenatal. Plus, it's designed to be gentle on the stomach. Ritual doesn't just have your back. They have the receipts. Get 25% off at ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.